And joining me in the studio now, Mary Frankham, who's Project Director for Te Korowaia Waiheke, which is the overarching name for the eradication program that the island has embarked on. If I'm right, and Mary will correct me if I'm not, it started initially with a collection of organisations known as the Waiheke Collective, a united network, and I'm reading off the website here, that works together to activate and amplify efforts for a healthy and thriving environment, formed in 2017, and includes Mana Whenua, Ngāti Pauā, Auckland Council, of course, the Hauraki Gulf Conservation Trust, hat tip to Ian Burrows and all those people on that trust, Forest and Bird, of course, Kia Ora Hugh, Kiwi 2 National Trust, DOC, Waiheke Resources Trust, of course, and other local conservation organisations, many of whom have been active in this space for decades. Quite right, but what the big difference was, of course, significant funding last year.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, last year, significant funding through Predator Free 2050, the national initiative around predators and New Zealand wildlife. And there was, and Mary's corrected me, an idea that there was $11 million of funding came to Waiheke for this project. But, of course, that figure includes all those government contributions that will have come and will come along the way. And the actual figure given to Te Korowaia to manage this incredible project is something just over $5 million. Is that right, Mary?
That's right, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in on Saturday, which is an important day for families. And
yeah, thank you.
It's very nice to have you in the studio. And I wanted to catch up with you guys on where we're at, because it's been a while since we talked on the radio about Te Korowaia, and I think you must be just about ready to do the stoat thing.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, just a little bit closer to the mic. And yep, and so there's kind of two phases to this. There's many, many phases, but the two big ones coming up are the stoat eradication and then a pilot project for rats. So maybe we'll talk about rats in a bit, but how's the stoat thing poised?
It's actually at a really exciting point in time. We have stoat traps on the island. They've been arriving. We've got pallets of them.
Pallets of them.
Really.
So that's exciting, because now it's real and tangible,
that's
and
right.
We're about to get out there and do it.
That's right, yeah. So it's been, eradications take a lot of planning. It's a very methodical process. Mm. It's a little bit, I like to think of it a little bit like the process to build a high rise or something like that. You know, there's an awful lot of planning and design work that goes into it before you see anything on the ground.
Before somebody leaves a blowtorch going.
Well, yes. We're hoping that will not be part
of the high. But the high rise analogy is good, without the sarky joke about Auckland. It's stage by stage.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of planning to try and get it right when we go into the operational phase, which we're about to do.
So the operational phase for the stoat program involves 12,000 traps?
17,000.
17,000 traps.
Yeah. So the program is based on a network of traps right across the island at a spacing of about one trap per 6 hectares. So that's all, as I was talking about the planning, it's that methodical planning process. The traps have been proposed at that spacing and based on lineal features. So where there are tracks or roads or bush edges, that's where the stoats like to run. So that's where we want to place a trap. And it also makes it easier for the team to be checking them.
Yeah. And obviously some of this will be on conservation land, some will be on council land, some will be on private property. So you're about to go and negotiate with the property owners about who has a trap on their land and how that will work.
Yeah, that's right. So where the traps have been proposed, the team has already been out and about and talking to people, and we're partway through that process of getting permission from people to participate in the program, and it's overwhelmingly positive, which is really fantastic.
Let's just make a point here: the landowners don't have to do the trapping.
No.
Right. So
some may want to.
Yeah, I would.
and we show them the trap check calendar, and if they're willing to, to do that, it is quite an intensive program. So by and large, people are quite happy to default to having the Te Korowaia staff do it. It's over 2 years, starting early next year.
Starting early next year, a 2-year trapping program for stoats, 17,000 traps across the island at 6 hectares, did you say?
Approximately every six hectares,
which of course is an area measurement, not a linear one. So every 6 hectares, somewhere in that 6 hectare block, you hope to have a trap.
That's right, yeah.
What bait do you use?
There's a range. So using things like fresh rabbit, dried rabbit, salmon sprays. And it's all part of this trap check calendar. It all has to be very consistently applied across the island. To give us the best chance of success.
So there's a range of baits, but there's a range of tools, right, that the whole program's going to be using. It's not all kill traps.
It is for
stoats.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So for the stoats, the traps that are being used are the Doc Series traps. Yeah. So
They've been used at Whakanefa for many years.
And across the island, actually. Various community groups have been using them. They're the kind of tried and true tool used.
A lot of research has gone into this point, hasn't it?
That's right.
Because you needed, before you embarked on these things, to know what you wanted to what you're trying to achieve and the best way to do that.
Yes, yeah. So we've got we've got local advisors, local trappers and pest control people.
And Joe Ritchie.
And Joe Ritchie is the ops manager. And we also have a technical advisory group with people from around the country, actually, that are giving us advice and having a look at our proposed program.
And what's so special about this, of course, is that this is an island where both nature and people coexist. I shouldn't locate people outside nature, but you know what I mean. This is we're not restoring Te Retiri Matangi here or Rotoroa, which is actually where Joe Ritchie's other job is. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Joe a couple of months ago about the work going on Rotoroa Island and the reintroduction of kiwi and other wonderful things. But this is a different challenge, isn't it? Because we would be the first largely populated island in the world. I understand there's some of the very small populations, but a big population like Waiheke would be the first in the world to actually get on top of predators and live in much more harmony with the original indigenous flora and fauna.
That's right. There is a project in the Orkney Islands in Scotland to eradicate stoats, and people do live there. But certainly, Waiheke would be a world first in terms of a highly populated area.
It's easier because it's an island?
Biosecurity is easier, as in keeping the stoats away is easier because we're surrounded by a whole lot of water and we are a good distance from the mainland, so stoats are good swimmers.
But not that good.
But, we're pretty confident they wouldn't be able to swim more than 5K from the mainland, and, of course, we're surrounded by pest-free islands, so they provide a barrier if they were going to island hop.
Yeah, and in a way, we're also helping those pest-free islands, aren't we? Because we're a risk to them, aren't
we? That's right. At the moment, Waiheke's a threat.
Yeah. In fact, I've done a series on the islands around us recently. I wasn't actually aware until I spoke with Kevin Hester, who lives there, that Rakina was predator-free.
Yeah, they actually eradicated their rodents not that long ago. I think it was about 2008 or 2009.
That's just amazing. Yeah. And in fact, Waiheke, we're very conscious of these issues here, but it's time we got round to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the information and the ability to take eradication, to the next and the next level is happening all the time. And certainly that's the Predator-Free 2050 ambition, is to be able to take what's been done before and what people know and then take it up a notch and the next challenge. So, of course, Rakino's a much smaller island.
Yeah.
And
they've got 21 permanent residents, Kevin tells me.
Yeah, so you can have a good meeting with everyone there.
You can sort it out pretty quick. So landowners might expect to be approached or are being approached.
Yes, they are in the process of. We actually have a drop-in session for people today at the Sustainability Centre. So those that...
What time's that?
So that's 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, good timing. So, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Yeah. So if you want to know more about this.
You can come along if you want to know more about it. But we've sent letters to those we haven't managed to find by door knocking.
To invite them
to say, hey, there's actually a stoat trap proposed for your property.
Yep.
Would you like to come and meet the team and talk through it?
If somebody doesn't want it, you then approach the neighbour or somebody else within that 6 hectares.
Yeah, I mean, we work through, why it is. They may not be wanting a stoat trap there. there, and, yeah. And maybe it's just, you know, a bit of relocation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we can accommodate what they're after, then absolutely we will. And otherwise, yeah, we might look to the neighbouring property.
Yeah. Can I ask a difficult question?
I'm not sure.
What about cats?
Ah,
are they at risk from the stoat traps is what I mean.
So the traps have been designed to ensure that, you know, what in the industry is called bycatch, you know,
yeah.
an unintended catch,
yeah.
To minimise that where at all possible. So yeah. the entrances to these traps are 3 centimetres by 3 centimetres.
Right.
And then they have a...
Even Moggy's not going to get in there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, a well-fed a pet is very unlikely to be attracted into these traps.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, the entrance is little, and then there's these internal baffles,
yep.
so they have to do quite a
stoat-like
chicane
twist.
Like, yeah,
that's
so right.
So the chicane, which the stoat is yep. so good at, and other creatures aren't so good at, is going to
be difficult.
Yeah,
yeah.
And of course, stoats do go through 3 centimeter things. They might have a bit of fluffy fur on them, but they in fact go through keyholes and toilet rolls and these things that are so tiny. That,
yeah, they're pretty amazing.
They
animals.
Are. They're yeah. amazing animals. Yeah. Yeah, but they just shouldn't be here on the island.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, if everything went as well as you hoped, when would that stoat program wrap up?
So we hope to have the traps go live early next year.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a pre-baiting in January, and then having the traps active in February and onwards for the next 2 years. We would, I mean, it's an ongoing process of seeing where we're at, but we're hoping that we have planned conservatively for a 2-year program. So we would hope that we'd be able to remove most of those traps by the end of. Let me get my years right, 2021.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's actually quite a short time frame.
That's
a lot shorter than I sort of thought it would be.
Mm.
I appreciate rats are not quite as straightforward, perhaps, and not that I think getting rid of stoats is going to be straightforward, but rats perhaps have bring their own complications. But in terms of stoats, even, I ask you to look into the future here, at the end of 2 years, if you have actually managed to get to the point where you can take the traps away, even by then we'd be seeing a re-flourishing, wouldn't we? I mean,
absolutely.
So just within a couple of years, we're going to see a lot of the positive effects of this program.
That's absolutely.
I mean, and before we came on air, we were already talking about how kaka are back on the island. And as I said, I've done a series of interviews around the islands around Waiheke, and everybody is talking about the re-flourishing of things. Motutapu is feeding into Rakino and da 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 da. So eventually, we'll be part of a network.
Absolutely. So the ecologists have, you know, they look at how the birds travel across the landscape. And by landscape, I mean by the Inner Hauraki Gulf and beyond, you know, looking at, you know, what may come back on its own accord. Kakariki turned up
Kakariki
on
Motutapu
and Rangitoto. And there's a lot of good opportunity for birds to reintroduce themselves.
In fact, if you start to think about the Gulf, we're sort of one of the places that's a little bit behind all the other islands, and for good reasons. In fact, imagine if this amazing island could be part of that network. I know the theory used to be, and it was a very lay theory, but that the kaka would go from the Hunuas to the barrier, but they wouldn't bother stopping at Waiheke, and now they are.
So
they breed,
stopping and staying.
Yeah, well, I saw one flying over Artworks recently. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not just down the bottom end or hiding in the forest and bird reserves. They're actually, and they're bold, and they're looking for pine trees and stuff. So we're all getting to know the kaka a little bit. Okay, so after Mary, I'm talking with Mary Frankham from Te Korowai o Waiheke, the overarching initiative around predator-free Waiheke. Mary, so once stoats are under control, what then? We can't just leap forward into a rat program without a trial or a pilot, is that right?
That's right. So actually, the intention is to have a concurrent program of work. So the stoat program will be going for 2 years, but we want to start the rat pilot before the end of that.
Okay.
So it will be concurrent. But like I was saying before, the difference really when you're talking about eradication and kind of the ongoing predator control that people are used to is the time element. And so the time element in with an eradication, a lot of it comes in the pre-planning work.
Yeah.
So with the rat pilot, there's a lot of understanding and weaving together with what is already happening on the island, because there's so many groups and individuals, backyard rat control going on. We want to work in with what is going on and, take that to an eradication
level. That backyard rat control, which goes on, you know, in a less coordinated manner, it's actually, you do see the impacts.
Yeah, there's some fantastic programs and they are, you know, highly coordinated.
But I was thinking, people like me who bait on my little property, but I'm not coordinated within our little valley, and I'd really like to be. But there is some rat work going on already, just those you know, well-meaning residents and...
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. Yep.
So what do you hope the pilot will show you?
So what we'd like to learn from the pilot is the right information to then be able to take a program island-wide.
Yeah.
So,
what kind of information is that? Is that the same sort of thing with the how many bait stations per hectare? Is that
a little bit of that is that technical information? A lot of it is how to weave in with existing control programs, how to come together for an eradication program, and also, you know, what sorts of tools and approaches might be acceptable to people as well. And that's a variety. You know, you talked about the toolbox before.
Yeah, there's a toolbox of options, aren't there? It's not all going to be forced onto people without a lot of discussion.
That's right.
It's an incredibly positive thing that seems to be, at the precipice of success. Is that how you see it?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, absolutely. No, we're really excited.
Because a lot of work's gone into this point, what I'm trying to say,
I was just going to say, it's fair to actually at this point really acknowledge all the work over many years before Te Korowai started, because, you know,
consciousness
so many
raising
people,
even at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. No, a huge amount went in, you know, over the last, many years prior. Mm. So, yeah. Mm.
Now, just to wrap it up, opportunities for people to get involved, do you want to hear from people?
Sure. No, absolutely. We have an event as part of the Garden Festival on the 10th of November at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that will be looking at what are the different kinds of tools that are used in predator management and what their benefits are, and a bit of a more detail about the Stoke program. On the 11th of November, between 11 and 2, we actually are asking for people to lend us a hand, please. We've got these traps and we need some clever people to screw on the labels, the warning labels, and stencil some logos on, that kind of thing.
So good hands-on volunteering. You don't have to be a predator expert here.
No,
there's
not
plenty,
at all.
Plenty for good, well-meaning islanders to get involved
in.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that venue is to be confirmed.
Yeah. So for these events, maybe Te Korowai Waiheke's website will carry that information. But there's at least a couple of these volunteering opportunities coming up in the next few weeks.
That's right. Yeah.
So good time to get it out there.
Yep.
Then what? You go quiet over Christmas?
We hope to have a few days off. The intention is to have the traps out before Christmas.
Yeah.
Our timeframes are, we're under some pressure to get them out before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to meet those timeframes. And then, as I said, what we call pre-luring, so making the traps appear very attractive to the stoats in January, and then activating the traps in February.
So you sort of tease them into it?
Something like that, make it attractive.
And then eventually it'll be baited.
Lured. Yep. Yep.
Lured. Yep. So pre-luring is.
So pre-luring is you put in the rabbit or the lure that you're going to use, but the traps themselves aren't set.
Oh, okay. So they'll have a munch and then they'll come back a couple of weeks
think
later.
This is a great thing.
They'll
think
it's safe.
And they won't be scared off by it. And yep.
Yeah. Well, Mary Frankham, thank you so much for coming in. It's been great to catch up on where the project's at. As I said, listeners might want to go onto the interweb and check out Te Korowai Waiheke's website, where there's buckets of information about the project, what it's trying to achieve and why, but also a lot of helpful information for anybody who has any concerns or worries or about traps and so on. All the best, and would be really great to get you back on in the studio, you know, say after Christmas, and just see how it's going.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'd love to come back.
Oh, that's wonderful. Te Korowai Waiheke, kia ora and kia kaha.